The New Testament reading this morning is from the letter to the Hebrews, chapter 11, verses 29 through chapter 12, verse 2. You can find this on page 1097 of the Church Bible. Let us listen for the word of the Lord. By faith, the people passed through the Red Sea as if it were dry land, but when the Egyptians attempted to do so, they were drowned. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell after they had been encircled for 7 days. By faith, Rahab the prostitute did not perish with those who were disobedient, because she had received the spies in peace. And what more should I say? For time would fail me to tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, of David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, obtained promises, shut the mouths of lions, quenched raging fire, escaped the edge of the sword, won strength out of weakness, became mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight. Women received their dead by resurrection. Others were tortured, refusing to accept release in order to obtain a better resurrection. Others suffered mocking and flogging, and even chains and imprisonment. They were stoned to death. They were sawn in two. They were killed by the sword. They went about in skins of sheep and goats, destitute, persecuted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains and in caves and holes in the ground. Yet all these, though they were commended for their faith, did not receive what was promised, since God had provided something better, so that they would not, apart from us, be made perfect. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and the sin that clings so closely, and let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, who for the sake of the joy that was set before him endured the cross, disregarding its shame, and has taken his seat at the right hand of the throne of God. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The faith of those who have gone before us. There are many images that come to mind that help us think about this, aren't there? We've talked about this kind of thing before as being like a scrapbook or a photo album of the Christian faith. Today's passage gives us another image, a great cloud of witnesses. An image that always sticks in my mind when I think of this is sort of like those old Verizon commercials where the guy's walking down the street and talking on the phone, and the camera pans back and you see thousands of people behind him, all the Verizon people that make the system work. This is a bit different than that, but I think it's a similar image. Theologian Karl Barth compared it to a room, maybe a cocktail party, where you move around the room and you hear saints from other times, from earlier times, talking with one another. He described it so as to stress the importance of historical theology and to encourage a little chronological humility, helping us to realize that there are many, many who have gone before and that we really need to take the time to listen and to get to know these folks before we speak loudly about the faith. No matter what image we use, don't you find a passage like this comforting in at least a little way? We read it and we see those witnesses who have gone before, what they went through, and ultimately what they witnessed, to what they pointed, ultimately to whom they pointed. Last week, we read in the early part of this chapter of Abel and Enoch and Noah and Abraham. Now it's Moses and the Hebrews crossing the Red Sea after it had been parted. It's also their children after 40 years in the wilderness in the Battle of Jericho. It's Rahab and a few other familiar names. Gideon, Samson, David, Samuel, the other prophets, a cloud of witnesses. The New Testament is also filled with those who make up this great cloud. There are the apostles and Stephen, many members of the early Christian communities to whom the epistles in our New Testament were written. Those in Rome and Corinth, in Ephesus and Colossae, in Philippi and Thessalonica. They all lived in a different time, a world far removed from our own, but they were no less blessed by the love of God in Jesus Christ. They served the same Lord that we do. We also imagine in this great cloud of witnesses those in the past 2,000 years who have been greatly blessed with the Holy Spirit and with Christ's presence. Some of them lived out their lives in relative peace, and others encountered trials of faith and persecution that most of us have been fortunate not to face. In this cloud or this photo album or as we walk around this cocktail party of church history, we see Polycarp. Polycarp was bishop of Smyrna in what is now Western Turkey in the middle of the second century. He was threatened with being burned alive, but offered escape if he would just reject Christ and worship the emperor. "Swear the oath, and I will release you. Revile Christ," the magistrate persisted. And Polycarp famously replied, "For 86 years I have been his servant, and he has done me no wrong. How can I blaspheme my king who saved me?" We also meet Perpetua, an early female martyr from the early 3rd century. Perpetua was a young, well-to-do, pregnant woman, and authorities tried to persuade her to save her life by abandoning her faith. The legal process apparently took a while, and she gave birth, and her baby was adopted by another Christian woman. Still, the authorities persisted, and her own father tried to persuade her to recant. Her answer was that just as everything has a name, and it is useless to try to give it a different name, she had the name of Christian, and this could not be changed. She succumbed to the sword after surviving the attack of a beast in the arena. We also find Saint Benedict, a 6th century monk who established the monastery at Monte Cassino in Italy. Benedict stands at the head of a tradition of monastic renewal at a time in the wake of the fall of the Roman Empire when the world desperately needed stability and calm. The thriving monastic communities and culture that stemmed from Benedict's rule that governed these communities led to the preservation not only of scripture and of ancient manuscripts, but also to some degree to the preservation of literacy in general. The faith as he lived it out did not result in his death, but can we say it was not a witness to the love of God in Christ? We also encounter Claire of Assisi, a 13th century woman who left behind a life of wealth when she heard St. Francis preach. She dedicated herself to the poor, starting a convent of the Poor Clares. Then there were the reformers of the 16th century, Martin Luther and John Calvin and others. They are more familiar to us, perhaps. There they are in this cloud of witnesses, pointing the church back to God's word revealed in the Bible. In that same century, we find Teresa of Avila, a Carmelite nun dedicated to the contemplative life. She wrote The Interior Castle, a text that describes the soul's progression toward God. As if it is a journey through the many rooms of a castle until you reach the very center, where union with God and full human being are found. We get then to the corner of the room where the saints of the last century are gathered. We find Dietrich Bonhoeffer, who along with the Confessing Church in Germany in the 1930s and 40s stood against the Nazi regime's persecution of the Jews. He spoke out against the Führer, refusing to go along with a large portion of the German church. He and some of his colleagues began an underground seminary, training pastors for those churches who would refuse to swear allegiance to Hitler. He also eventually became involved with a group who plotted to take Hitler's life. Bonhoeffer was caught and eventually paid with his own life in a Nazi camp mere weeks before the end of the war. There was Father Oscar Romero, the El Salvadoran Archbishop, who in 1980 was assassinated while he was celebrating the Eucharist for speaking out on the persecution of the church and human rights abuses by the military government there. There's Mother Teresa, who lived out her life in an Indian slum, embodying the weakness shown by Christ on the cross in order to minister to the poor and the sick and the dying. This is indeed a great cloud of witnesses. This great cloud of witnesses who have finished the race gained another member this week when Connie Morris joined the Church Triumphant. We remembered her life and witnessed to the resurrection here on Wednesday morning. We have done the same recently for others in our church, Ernie Kramer and Brian Schultz. All of these are our brothers and sisters in the faith. Some we read about in the Bible. Some lived out their faith in the great span of time since the Bible was written. Some gave their lives at a young age, and others lived for many years in the faith. Some lived their lives with great fame, and others lived out their lives in obscurity to all but those who knew them in their own families and churches and communities. They are all lifted up in our reading today as an encouragement to us to run the race of the Christian life. We are encouraged to run the race with perseverance. We have this great cloud of witnesses behind us, those who have already finished the race. It's not an easy race. It's grueling at times. There can be a danger in a passage like this sometimes, though. A lesson we might take from looking back at those saints who seemed to have it all together. There's a danger in losing the real source of our faith. We might look at someone like David or Samuel or the prophets and think that they have it all together, that they have it all figured out. We might look at someone like Calvin or Bonhoeffer and see a great theologian whose intellect far surpasses our own. We might look at Benedict or Mother Teresa and see a holiness that we can never hope to achieve. It could lead to despair because we might understand the true source of their strength. We might misunderstand the true source of our strength. What all these saints that we've talked about this morning have in common is not that they were perfect. They weren't. Most weren't even close. Read the Bible closely about some of these folks if you are under the impression that they were. You remember David. You probably also remember Bathsheba. There was Samson, but there was also Delilah. Jephthah had challenges that I would rather not talk about today. Realize that each of them struggled at times with their faith. Each of them struggled with the call to holiness. We certainly know that Calvin and Luther both did things that cause us great embarrassment today. A couple years ago, it was revealed that Mother Teresa endured a long-lasting dark night of the soul that left her unable to sense God's enduring presence. Though she wanted to love Jesus as he had never been loved before, she found only darkness and coldness and emptiness that was so great that nothing touched her soul. We may remember some of these saints because of the great things that they have done, but they are not in that great cloud of witnesses because they are up on a pedestal as some kind of superstar Christians. They're in that cloud of witnesses because of what they witness to. What they all have in common, and what we have in common with them, is that we are called to be a part of God's covenant community. We all may not be as holy or as smart as they were. There may be no books written about us when we pass away. But what we have in common with them is a life united with Christ. They and we witness to Christ, who is the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. Christ is the one who has gone before as a pioneer. He's a pioneer as the second Adam, the perfect human. And Christ is also the end, the telos, the purpose, the perfecter and completer of our faith. Do you remember as we worked through Philippians this summer, the one who began a good work in you will bring it to completion? That's saying the same thing. Jesus doesn't just give us a push out of the starting blocks of the race, leaving us to do the hard work on our own. He is there, start to finish. He is the pioneer and the perfecter, the beginning and the end, the Alpha and the Omega. Certainly our reading calls us to run the race of the Christian life. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin that clings so closely, and let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us. But all of it is in witness to Jesus. All of it is because of and in and through the strength and power and glory and suffering and weakness of Christ. Because, he said, come to me, all you who are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. We can lay aside every weight. Because he is a great high priest who is able to sympathize with our weaknesses and who sits at the throne of grace interceding for us, we can lay aside the sin that clings so closely, receiving mercy and finding grace to help in our time of need. We run this race as this great cloud of witnesses has done before us because he, Christ Jesus, is the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen.